Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. Simple process to accept Jesus and become saved, which simply means that when you die, you will go to heaven. You know, heaven's kind of an interesting place. It's way out there, right around here. It's another area that when people die, they go to. Now, not all people go there. There is other places to go. There are two kinds of places to go. One place is if you believe in Jesus, and that means that you believe he's the Son of God. And that means you got one book in all of the world that you got to use to go by. You can't just make up your own. You can't just go to some other kinds of wonderful books that gives theories about different kinds of things that might include things about Jesus and everything. No, this doesn't work. You have to go to the Bible. And the Bible is even kind of a bit iffy because there are so many Bibles in the world today. And you need to make sure that you have a Bible that is correct. In other words, you don't need to be reading a Bible that is a counterfeit. Now, there are counterfeit Bibles in the world. And what do you think counterfeit Bibles look like? Do you think they say Satan's Bible? What do you suppose that Bibles look like that are not the Holy Bible, that is not the Bible of Christians? And so you need to find out about the Bible you're reading. Like I said, there is one Bible that is or can be called the Word of God. Then there are many Bibles that can be called Satan counterfeits. Now, there's two people back in the 1880s that were pretty smart. They were also occultists, and they kind of didn't like the King James Version, and they also didn't like the way that basically what the going word, true believers, believed. They thought that was old-fashioned. They thought it was out of kilter. They thought, well, now science is proving that the Bible's wrong. And so, college is going around, and people, young folk and everything, they're going through college, and they're saying, how can this be? Science says that it's the other way or something. You know, the science is showing this and that and the other thing, and the Bible says it differently. And so, people were pretty ripe in the days of the 1880s for a new version of the Bible. And Westcott and Hort were not just dummies. They were not just somebody off the street. They were quite influential. In fact, one of them was on the board of to revise the official Church of England Bible. And so he worked on his version, which was taken from what is called the corrupt version, if that's what I call it. And the other Bible, the King James Bible, was from the received text. Now, back in the second century, you had a whole set of books. And then you had another set of books that were either just about all the same books, or they're just about, or they were basically the same book, but whoever wrote them corrupted them. And this was not something done by happenstance or fluke of the night. Somebody got down to write and decided to do this and that and manipulate this kind of stuff. No, it was pretty specifically planned, because what this particular corruption of the Bible was, of the copies of the Bible, was to take Christ out of Jesus. This can easily be seen if you get the King James Version and then you put the other versions alongside of it and then start reading verse by verse. And you will notice that in the modern version, there's a lot missing. Where in the King James Version, you always have some confirmation that Jesus is the Christ. And that the things that God told us, the reason why you accepted Jesus and the promises and all that kind, is emphasized time and time again. Where when you look at the new modern versions, they're not emphasized at all. It lessens who Jesus is. all of this, to most people, doesn't make any difference because you still believe that Jesus is the Christ. So what if it's a little bit worded different and didn't get into, you know, just about every verse have to confirm that Jesus is the Christ, you know, and the Son of God and on and some other of those really wonderful sayings that if you really were a true believer, that it would kind of choke up your heart to know how much Jesus cares for you, how much God cares for you and all that kind of stuff, the plans he's got for you and who he is and all this kind of stuff. It just kind of makes you well up inside and the water kind of flows out of your eyes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Because then and you may think that you get the same with the modern versions, but like I said, compare them. You could go on links out there in the internet and you can get it right there in front of you. And you could see where a modern version and the King James Version differ. Now, some people want to go out and try to say the King James Version is the corrupt version. Again, it's a simple way to kind of prove it if you really wanted a simple way. Put them next to each other and read them. If the King James Version was such a corruption, like some lots of people want to try to say, then why is there so much stubborn about confirming that Jesus is the Christ and all those nice goody things that throws up tears and chokes up because that's all the meaning of Jesus and God. You know, the purpose they came and the things they did and the promises they've given us and all this kind of stuff is all in there and we're calling this a corrupt version. And so many people that are thinking that the King James Version is the corrupt version has kind of lost their marbles because the new modern version don't have this kind of stuff. Doesn't include this confirmation to the letter of the promises and so forth and so on. Instead, it glosses over them. In some places, it kind of says something that, you know, because you do remember the King James Version and what people had said, and you heard enough sermons and everything to understand these things about the promises of Jesus. But you see, one thing you don't seem to get that our brain is kind of a mechanical thing, you know. It's computerized. It doesn't matter if you want to accept this or not, but it's a recording device. We're inside ourselves and we have access to all kinds of data that we're recording inside ourselves, our experiences and what we learn and see and everything. We have memory. They can stick a little probe in here and poof, you see that memory of something pop up, you know. They can do all kinds of stuff and you didn't try to remember something or whatever. You got a database inside your head. And you know, you want to know something? We talk about computers as the computers aren't making mistakes. They only tell you what the people put in it. So whatever you put into the computer, that's what it's going to give back. If you give it wrong information, it's going to tell you when you ask the question about that particular item, it's going to come back and tell you the wrong information because that is what was entered into it. That's why it's so important to enter the right data so you can get the right answer. So what are we doing? We're believing that Jesus is the Christ, but we're writing onto our hard drive, Jesus is not the Christ. He's just some good person. You know, one thing about our hard drive, it doesn't record what we think. It doesn't record what we know to be true, as it were, or our experience, as it were, in our relationships and stuff like this. There are things that is not being inputted through certain kinds of channels. When you're writing data into your hard drive, it is like when you put out the book in front of you and start reading it. Now, you can read the book, and if you know something is a lie, you know what you're going to do in your brain when you're recording this information? You're going to put a tag on that. And so when you come up to this information, you say, yes, I read that. It says that such and such is true. But wait a minute, what's this tag? And your brain is going to push that button inside your brain, and it's going to bring up the information that says this is a lie. Here's the real data. See, our brain is really good at this kind of stuff. But you see, when you are reading a modern version Bible, you don't have these tabs because you have no clue. You think it really is the Word of God. So you're recording this as bona fide data into your brain. This doesn't make a lot of sense to you now. And it wouldn't really matter if you were born a long time ago. because generally speaking, this debt is pretty decent. And you know, as long as you have a counterfeit dollar bill in your hand and nobody knows the difference, and you could spend it here and you could spend it there, and that, then they take it off, and it could go quite a while. But as soon as it's found out that it's false, what has happened? It's just taking out a service. And it's no longer can be used as an exchange for some sort of service or product. So, in the past, and up till now, we don't have anything going on for us that's going to tell us that there's anything wrong with the New Version Bible, because Christ is Christ to us. And we're going to go on this, across the street out here. The car's going to come, could hit us, we're going to die. And we died. What do we believe? That Jesus is Christ. What's going to happen? We're going to go to heaven because we believe that Jesus is a Christ. So any of our filth, any of our wrong doctrine, any of our mistakes, any of the corruption of that new modern version you read is going to be washed. It's called washed in the blood. In a literal sense, you're actually, Death Gate is a washing machine. Did you know that? You can't, the gate is actually literally a washing machine. It's a pretty violent one because it's going to scrub you clean. You ain't going to have a speck of dirt. There's no stains. There's no nothing. You're going to be clean, white, and pure when you come out of there. Because the soap, the detergent used, is Jesus' blood. And it cleans you pretty well. You know, when you get born again, you say, I'm washed in the blood. You didn't feel anything. You felt a little pleasure, maybe a little Shekinah glory. You could see things, and you felt, oh, the presence of the Lord. And so you're saying this is kind of a born again, washed in the blood experience. No, no, no. This is a spiritual confirmation that you have this promise that you are going to be if you keep the faith. You have a choice. You could reject Jesus at any time you want. As long as you're alive, you can make decisions. In the famous verse that you use against gays, it says that once you believed in God, once you obeyed Him, once you were into that, and then you turn your back on Him. That's what it tells you in verse chapter 1 of Romans, in verse 18 through about verse 23. You read that, and you're going to read that there was lots of people that used to believe. You know, they grew up, and they learned, and they knew God. And then what happened? You know, we'd say they're born again. So what happened? They turned to other gods. What does this mean? Does this mean that once saved, always saved? You could be once saved and always saved if you keep the faith. Now, how do you keep the faith? Well, you get to your grave and still believe in Jesus Christ. You know that He's the Son of God and that God rose Him on the third day, and the reason He came was to die for you, for He first loved you. And He got up on the Christ without on the cross without sin, and so He was able to die and pay the price and was able to raise again on the third day. And you believing that He died for you in your place, so that when you come up before judgment, the bill is paid in full. They say, okay, Jack, here's your book of sins. And they open it up. It's all blotted out. It says, Jesus paid. Turn the next page. It's all blotted out. Jesus paid. Turn the next page. You know, it might be 300-400 pages long. Maybe some of you got 1,000-page books there. It's all blotted out. And on the bottom, Jesus paid the price of it. Because He paid the price for your sin. So God doesn't see any of this kind of information. It's cleaned out of there. You do a new sin. But you don't necessarily mean to, or if you do mean to do it, you're in a confused state of your life, and you're not knowing for sure. You're pretty sure it's saying, you know, this kind of stuff is not meaning you're unrepentant. It simply means that you hear too many conflicting informations and you don't know necessarily what's right and wrong. As long as you're in this state of not knowing what's right and wrong, then you're not living in sin, though you are committing sin each day. We are all committing sin. And there are most of our sins that we commit. We don't say, Jesus, forgive us our sins, because we don't even think they're sins. Or we're kidding, we're doing so many of them, we don't really think, because we think that, hey, you know, I don't need to spend time ask in Jesus to forgive me for every little jot and tittle of my days and my life and everything. You know, I went to some of the big serious things, and then I'll ask Jesus to forgive me or some God to forgive me. And say, you know, we have all this kind of battle as long as we're alive. And as long as we're having this kind of battle with whatever sins we might do, then, hey, we're in good shape here. It's when you decide that you don't want to believe in Jesus anymore, or you finally sit fed up with it. You say, you don't like the way life is. It ain't the way that you thought it's going to be. You're going to go in here, or there's some pretty good information over here, and it seems like it's more truth, and I get more feeling, and I get more action. I see more things and everything. It seems to work. I'm more happy, and so you turn your back on Jesus, and you go over to some other God. You don't necessarily get saved and stay saved. And so, if you're reading a modern version, say the modern versions were out a long, long, long time ago, you know, centuries ago, there's nothing in those modern versions that will keep you from heaven. There's no event in the world necessarily that will keep you from heaven based on reading the Bible. Because you can read the King James Version or a modern version, and certain events come in the world that make you fed up with the situation. Doesn't matter if you have the real Bible or a corrupt Bible, you're already going to make a choice against Jesus. Because both versions have enough information in it that if you should live your whole life, you can die knowing that you're saved. So if your grandma dies today, and she has kept her faith, and all she's been doing for the last 30 years is read modern translations, she's going to go to heaven. She still believes that Jesus is the Christ. But you that are alive right now, that will not see death, that will actually make it to the point that the rapture will happen, where we're caught up into the air and we meet Jesus. The dead will rise first, your grandma will rise first, and then a little bit later you come up and rise. There's a whole sequence of things that are happening, and you can find out about them. You don't have to guess and wish. Right now we do a lot of theories and a lot of guessing and a lot of wishing. Some of them pretty good, some of them pretty bad. Some are flat out wrong. If a lot of you believe a lot of things, that just isn't true. You don't got enough of the pieces of the puzzle. If you've got enough pieces, you might see a section of the picture, and then you could guess what the whole picture is. But you might guess totally wrong, because lots of things could have this kind of situation. You need lots of pieces of that puzzle and lots of different areas, and those people that got lots of areas are still missing lots of areas of the pieces of the puzzle, and it's hard to ever get a real good picture of what this whole thing is all about. Most of us are going to go to the grave having no real clue of the significance of what Jesus came here to do, and what is all the future, and what is all the past, and all this kind of stuff meant. There's so many things out here, we just want to make it simple and say it's A or B. And this is not how God is. In His Word, there's lots of complicated stuff, and it's hard to pick out. You got to have some help. And then you can't just rely on certain things, because we like to rely on that, the Spirit told me. There's lots of spirits. And you know one of the feelings about spirits? It feels like Jesus. Why? Because this is what the spirits operate in. They operate in the Holy Spirit. Now, you could plug in a toaster, you could plug in a TV, you could plug in a washing machine, you could plug in a light, you could plug in almost anything. This camera that's operating right now is plugged in. Well, it's actually on a battery. But it's plugged into what? Electricity. There's some place out there making electricity. And electricity has no clue whatsoever it's ever going to be used for. It doesn't know it's going to be washing clothes. It doesn't know that it's going to be counting down the clock for a space shuttle to take off. And it just knows that it's sending this electricity. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit. There's a little bit more to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's a person. But it's still basically the same. You ain't going to operate in the universe without the Holy Spirit. It just ain't going to happen. And so the evil spirits, the good spirits, your spirit, God's spirit, everybody's spirit, whatsoever, is in the Holy Spirit. a lot of you can't concept that. You can't grasp the hold of that picture. You say, this guy's nutty and fruity and has no idea what he's talking about. Maybe I know what I'm talking about. Maybe somebody told me. Maybe I found out. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you. And so, you have to discern the spirits. You got to find out which is your spirit. Because your spirit's not going to say, hey, you know, I'm Jack. And I'm telling you a few things, you know. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not a demon. I'm Jack. I'm your spirit. No, that's not how your spirit's going to work. You know how your spirit's going to work? It's going to feel probably like the Holy Spirit. Because that's how the Holy Spirit is. You could go into a Buddhist temple. And what do you think you're going to feel? You're going to feel the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? You can go to a dead church. You go in there, you're going to feel the presence of God. And some of the things that they could tell you, it just chokes you all up and all that kind of stuff. If you weren't too smart, you know, you'd say, oh my God, Buddha's God after all. Or any of these other religions. You know, those religions work for a reason. And Christians, I know some of you have been around some of those places, and I know that when you go into some of these places, you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you've got to figure out why. You got to argue within yourself, why do you feel it here? And you, mostly you're going to say, well, that's because Jesus came with you, and you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and so this is why you feel it. You got lots of ideas. If you get the right idea to understand everything is operating in the Holy Spirit, then when you go to various places, you go to racetrack and see the dragsters take off, you know. Some of you, all of a sudden, their tears are rolling down your head. I mean, you pay no attention, nothing. And all of a sudden, this awesome power and whatever it can have, that thing. It feels like, oh my God, I'm a dramatic falling down of the Holy Spirit on me, anointing the Holy Spirit. Hey, this is just a dragster. Tell me what that has to do with the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe it has more than we think. I don't know. Maybe just show an example. I don't know. But you're going to feel it. Sounds crazy. But there's a reason that there are modern translations. The reason is for the last days. The reason is Israel had to become a nation. Because the Bible says when Israel becomes a nation, that generation won't pass away. That means somebody's people in that generation won't die. Because they will be in the rapture. Is it a million? Is it a billion? How many people are going to be in the rapture? We don't know. Is it 100,000? 100 million? A billion? We can guess all we want. Probably going to be maybe getting up there towards a billion. But not the billion that are alive today that might be calling themselves Christians. And so the deceptions can happen. And so now you're reading these Bibles that are modern versions and the corruption in them that leaves the Christ out of it. You've got this recorded data in your head. Now Satan can be out there through the Masons and through all his organizations and creation and the deception devices and technology and all kinds of stuff. And they could produce something and you could say, that makes sense because you got it recorded. You went to your database in your head because you recorded this. You didn't record the living word of God in the King James. You recorded a corrupt version of the Bible, which brought to you false information, which confirms to you that man over there might be Christ after all, and so you will turn to him. Sounds crazy. But watch. About two-thirds of you are going to be doing this kind of stuff, and an army of restorers are going to work all the hard to get you back. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible and get ready. The great shaking is going to take 1,260 days of being washed in the blood while you're alive. See you next week.